I'm Robert Cavuto, and today on Sonic Perspectives, I'm speaking with singer-songwriter Sebastian Bach for his new solo album, Child Within the Man, that comes out May 10th. Sebastian, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you, Robert. Great to talk to you.
Yes, I was just reminiscing to, I was looking some things up. I saw Skid Row in 1988 at the Cat Club. That was my first
Oh, no, you did not.
I swear to God. I was only 15 years old.
Well, you weren't old enough to get in.
No, I'm kidding. I was well old.
Well, I remember playing a Cat Club, and there was not more than 20 people in the room, so that's
the
pretty
time
rare.
It was packed, man. It was insane. You
well,
guys,
maybe we played there more than once. Yes, we. Oh yeah, we did play there more than once. I'm thinking of the first time.
Okay.
Well, the very first time I played the Cat Club in New York, I played it with Madam X.
Yes.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
And I was 15.
Yeah,
And I was not old enough to get in.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, this was like 88. I think the album was just out, you know, scenario. You were on tour for it. And it was
yes.
What a great show. You guys are on fire.
Well, now that you remind me, I remember we did an iconic poster of Skid Row in the alleyway next to the Cat Club that had all of the Skid Row tonight at the Cat Club, like the whole
Yes.
wall was covered in that. It was a horizontal poster released by Funky Posters, and it was very huge poster of us that was out. And I turned around and I grabbed half of the wall of those gig posters, Skid Row at the Cat Club, and ripped them off the side of the wall, and they were all like hard like glue.
Yes.
And guess what, Robert?
What?
I still have that.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
I still have the wall of Skid Row tonight at the Cat Club posters. And thank you for reminding me of that.
You should post that. That would be awesome to see.
Yeah, well, I will someday.
Yeah. And I used to run into you in the village a lot by accident, crossing the street in St. Mark's, you know, like in the middle of the night.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, listen, I just want to say it's a pleasure to speak with you today. I love the album. It's crushing full throttle. You didn't take your foot off the gas the whole entire album. So congrats to you.
Well, all I'm trying to do is make the best record I've ever made. And when you listen to the first record, Skid Row and Slave to the Grind and Angel Down and I, you know, Kicking and Screaming, all these records I put out, I have no intention of stopping or anything like that. Like, I love, see, the thing is with me, I love collecting vinyl records. It's my hobby. It's my passion as a person. And it has been since I was 8 years old. I never threw out my vinyl. In fact, when my dad passed away, I got all of his vinyl. Like, I love vinyl. So my record company, Reigning Phoenix Music, let me make my ultimate vinyl that I love. Me, I love this.
Very cool. Very cool.
And what I collect specifically is records from the 70s. Obviously, Kiss, Aerosmith, Van Halen, late 70s, AC/DC, you know, like those are my favorite albums. And I love the way, like, my newest vinyl fetish is the band Mountain. I cannot get Nantucket Sleigh Ride and the Leslie West solo record, and I can't get those off my turntable. And that's one of the joys of collecting, is that you can buy a stack of old records for $50. It's not like, you know, Eddie Trunk, my good buddy, always says it's $60 a record. Nobody collects those. Nobody wants those. What they want is the first pressing from 71 So you can hear 71. We don't want to hear 2024. We want to hear 71.
I agree. Yeah.
So that's my new one. But to get back to it, like, the team that made this record are 100% on that team of making records that are of the caliber of albums that came out in the 70s. And it goes so far as to the album cover my father did in the year 78. No AI on that mother trucker.
No.
And the album was produced by Elvis Basquette on a 1974 Neve console that Queen recorded records on. And then, just to blow my own mind, the album, I think, sounds the way it does, and people are responding to it the way they are, because the way Elvis produced it on his old one-of-a-kind rare 74 Neve, then the album was mastered by Robert Ludwig. And I don't want to hog up this whole interview. Any vinyl collector in the world knows who the fuck Robert Ludwig is from Led Zeppelin 2. He's the guy that put too much bass on Led Zeppelin. That's who I want making my album. That's the guy I want. And I got him, incredibly. Like, it's just incredible. He's in his 80s. And I wanted to interview him about Zeppelin and Kiss Alive and Steely Dan and the Eagles, and he's laughing. And he didn't want to do interviews or anything. He goes, "But I do want to master your record." And I was like, oh my God. Like, it's just, I made my own record that I love, and to the ultimate detail in every way. So I got what I want. So nobody can take that away from me. And the first video is well over 1,200,000 views. And that's already enough for me to be inspired to do a next record. The record's not even out yet. And the response to those videos, I didn't know that was still possible. I didn't know I could get a song on the radio. Like, I didn't know that. I did not know that. And I can. Fucking right, I can.
Well, it's a great song. The first single was a great song, too, you know?
Well, I to have an FM radio song that's really doing well in American FM radio in 2024 is just mind-blowing to me. It's mind-blowing to me. I can't even fucking tell you what it means to me. Like, to be doing it this long and now to be on the radio again. It's like, my God, I can't even...
I personally think it's cyclical. I think it's coming back. I think hard rock, heavy metal is going to come back. I think people are tired of pop and, you know, the nonsense that was putting out for the last couple of years. And I think they're coming back to roots and they want their hard rock. And
I remember years ago, everybody was responding to the singer Adele.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard her music, I said, you're responding to her voice. You are responding to the fact that you're hearing a human being belt out a song with talent and passion. And that's what you're fucking hearing. And what do I got to lose? You're hearing me sing, like, it's not auto-tuned and fucking perfect. It's dirty and it's rude.
No.
And it's real rock and roll. And
I think it's also very personal. And I was going to ask you, do you feel that the title of that song is like your mantra? Does it sum up your musical career? Like, you don't give a F and, you know, what do you got to lose by doing it?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like... I just love the sentiment of that. And I do think it, you know, I mean, everybody has influences and everybody knows I'm like John Five. I'm like a Uber Kiss fan, and there's a funny story about that because I couldn't listen to my record for a long time because it was killing me that it wasn't out and that I wasn't allowed to talk about it. My management didn't let me fucking speak about it, and it was like torture. I would go out to dinner with my friends. And they go, "What are you doing?" I go, "Well, I'm watching some TV and shit." Meanwhile, I got this fucking album that is so incredible that I've been doing everything I can to make it great. So what do I got to lose? The title, it makes me laugh because I don't say that in the chorus. I say, "What have I got to lose?" in the chorus, but then I say, "What do I got to choose?" Okay. So in that time that I was not allowed to listen to the record because it made me nuts because I love it so much. It would make my heart fucking pound.
Yeah.
So I'm getting the lyrics together for the record company and everything. And I'm walking around the house and I'm going, "That's got to be the first single. What do I got to lose? That's got to be the first." And I think it harkens back to Kiss, "Got nothing to lose, got nothing," the way it sounds. And everybody knows I love alliteration, like from supergroup Savage Animal. It rolls off the tongue. And to me, walking around my house, "What do I got to lose" was the title. And then when I fucking listen, when it was time to put it out, I'm listening, I go, "Oh shit." That's not what I say. But so I go, "Fuck, I got to change it to what the lyrics are." And then I said, "What have I got to lose?" I go, "No, no, I'm changing it. It's got to be, what do I got to lose with a question mark?" And then I said, "Well, can you do that, Sebastian Bach?" And I go, "Well, I got one word for you, dude. Cygnus X1, okay?" if Rush can call a song that, I can call a song whatever I want. And I think that's when you say it's very personal, like it's, I told you that story because it's beyond, me. It's me working for 10 years with my crazy fucking rock and roll love of rock brain on this. And this is the result. And I could not love it any more than I do. I could not love it any more than I do.
I know you've been very busy touring, but do you think this album is a comeback of sorts for you?
In a business sense, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Because the difference between this solo album and my other ones is that this is the first one where I have an international team of people that are working my fucking ass off, dude. And like, I gotta tell you, like, be careful what you wish for, Sebastian, because I am not having any days off or any. I am busting my ass. I shot two new videos last week, and I was up till 2 a.m. returning the Ryder truck because I had to put paintings and fucking gargoyles in the video. And awesome. People are like, "They're not going to be in the video." I go, "Yes, they are. I need these in the fucking video."
"They're right here in the truck. I got them. They're in the video."
And then at the end of the video shoot, everybody's partying, and I got to go return the Ryder truck at 2 a.m. and then fly to LA to rehearse with my band for the Rainbow Show at 3 p.m. because Brent Woods is also in Gene Simmons' band and he's not available, and I gotta fucking fly at 7. Like, everything is crazy, dude. It's really, but I love it. I love it. Especially after the pandemic, when I didn't know if we would ever get a chance to do this again. I don't take anything for granted at all, and I really, really enjoy every plane flight and hotel room, and I enjoy everything because I didn't know if this would ever fucking happen again. So I'm really digging it.
You know, we were talking about the first single. You co-wrote that with Miles Kennedy, who's known for being very serious songs with Alter Bridge slash. Did you
Yeah.
have to tell him this is going to be a fun old school metal song and the video is going to be fun and entertaining and
No. I
really?
didn't tell him anything. He said to Elvis, the producer, would Sebastian be interested in hearing some of my ideas? And I
Wow.
go, you know, I haven't read this come across in any of the interviews that I've done. And I've done about 1,000, but I say it all the time. I hope it gets through on this one. I just want to say thank you to Miles Kennedy for paying it forward or paying it back or whatever the term is, because I can only assume that in 1989, Miles Kennedy was a kid rocking out to Skid Row, Youth Gone Wild, like the whole rest of the world was. And I can only assume that's why he came to me
Wow.
with two ideas, because there's a ballad at the end of the album that we also co-wrote together. And he had like the first verse of these songs and the first chorus. It was kind of like when I see the Eagles, Glenn Frey, describe standing on a corner of Winslow, Arizona, such a fine sight to see. And Jackson Browne brought him that song and he finished it up. That's kind of what I did with these songs. They were like basically 25 seconds and we made them into 3.5 minutes and a ballad 4.5 minutes.
Right.
And I just have to say thank you because there's. I cannot think of any bigger way to hit for him to say thank you to me for whatever happened in 89. For him to do that in 2023, it has really touched me. And I just want to hope he knows how thankful I am for the success of this. I can only assume that
Yeah.
he has a lot to do with it. And thank you, like
It's a nice
for
sentiment.
fucking fucking. There's a lot of guys that say Sebastian was one of my biggest influences, and I love Skid Row, and that was my favorite band. But they don't write hit songs with me.
Yeah.
Like they don't get my voice back on the fucking radio. Like
Yeah,
holy
huge,
shit,
huge.
like that is huge to me, and I just really hope that Miles Kennedy knows how thankful I am to him
That's
for
terrific.
this song and also the song To Live Again. It's a 10 out of 10, man. And I'm a son of a bitch trying to get shit the way I want and the way I like it. And me being proud of something, if I put my name on it, I am proud of it. And these two songs are just, I just want him to know thank you
That's
from
great.
me. Yeah.
You know, and you got John Five killing it on Freedom. I knew instantly from when he uses that kill switch in the solo. I said, that's John Five. That is 100% John Five. And then I did some research and it was John Five. I was like, what a great song.
Thank you, man. Well, this is my third record in a row collaborating with John Five. The first song we did was called Tunnel Vision on the album Kicking and Screaming. Then we did Temptation on Give Him Hell, and now we've got Freedom on Child Within the Man. And you know, we're such rock and roll geeks, and I talk about Elvis Basquiat and his old gear that he has. And if you listen to the beginning of the song where it's got that phase shifter on the and it goes down, like I can't describe it. It's the very beginning of the song, but it sounds exactly like something off Fair Warning from Van Halen.
Yes.
And Elvis Basquiat starts laughing
Oh,
because
God, that's brilliant.
Elvis produces Wolfgang. So
Yes.
he's with in the Van Halen camp. He starts laughing at me. He goes, oh yeah, it does sound like Fair Warning. He does that. He goes, well, you want to know why? I go, why? He goes, because this is Eddie Van Halen's fucking pedal that he used on Fair Warning, Sebastian.
He had the real pedal.
And I go, you're fucking killing me. And it's Eddie's pedal on that intro. That's so awesome. Yeah, it does sound like fair warning because it's Edward. Shit like that is just like, that's why I do this. Like, yeah, that is fun. And that is cool. And thank you, Elvis Basquette, for getting Edward Van Halen's guitar pedal on my fucking song. Thank you. There you go.
That's, you know, I've been listening to the album since Marcy sent it over. And I have to tell you, one of my favorite song as of right now, and it's been this for a while, is Hard Darkness.
Wow.
I love when you sing from the beginning of the verse to the high register scream to the lowness on the bridges. I love your vocal quality on it. What can you tell me about the creation of that song?
Well, I can tell you a lot, but then I don't want to give everything away, like if you have a personal meaning to it, but the title, you know, we were all trapped in our houses for who knows how long. For me, it seemed like 2 years. I try not to think about it, but I was lucky enough that I was trapped. My house was like 3.5 acres in Thousand Oaks, California, in fucking paradise. So I could walk around my grounds, you know what I mean? So I mean, I didn't have much to complain about being trapped with my wife in the forest. I was all right, but everybody went crazy. Like, I was all right first 2 months, month 8, month 9, I was not fucking all right at all. Like, I was forgetting who I was, and that's when the Eddie Trunk Show became so important to me, because I would put it on and I would remember who the fuck I was. Like, I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating. I'd be like, oh yeah. Oh, right. Like, so to make a long story even longer, Devin Bronson he just crushes me with riffs and ideas. And I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? Cause I heard that riff, and it reminded me of something off like a Fight record by Halford. Like, that's what it, and I was like, well, we're definitely doing this. And so I'm trying to think up lyrics, and I couldn't think up anything. And so I was drinking a lot of wine in the pandemic, and I took a bottle of wine out onto my grounds, out into a path in the woods. And it was like 4 in the morning, and it was pitch black, and I was looking up at the fucking moon, and it says, by the light of the moon, and I just wrote about where I was and what I was doing.
That's awesome.
And I was in a hard darkness by the light of the moon, drinking fucking wine by myself in the woods. And that's that song. And that's all I'm gonna say, because there, it is about something, but I don't want to
tell you. I love hearing the insights, because I love going back and hearing and then applying it to the song, which is terrific.
Well, that, can you can, if what I just told you, picture me like a fucking werewolf and with a bottle of red wine in the woods, trying to get out of this hard darkness by the light of the moon. And it sounds like that, which I love, like, because you can feel that. Where I was writing, that's where I wrote it, staring at the moon. And that's what I try to do as a songwriter, is we talk about Halford. And one thing I always loved about Priest is that, to me, Rob Halford's words always matched the way the song sounded, like a song like Desert Plains or Solar Angels. Like, Desert Plains sounds like he's riding a fucking bike on the desert plains. And then Solar Angels sounds like aliens coming down to rock.
And Beyond the Realms of Death, one of my personal favorites. Perfect. Too. Same thing.
And that's what I aim for in a song like Hard Darkness. It sounds like hard darkness to me.
Yeah. I know you're a huge Kiss fan. You were at the last show. Were you at the first show at Madison Square Garden too, or just the
No,
second show?
just the last.
Did you get a golden ticket?
Yes, I did.
Who'd
From
you have to
Doc,
kill to get the golden ticket?
Doc McGee walked up to me after the show at the after party and handed it to me. And I gave him a hug, and him and Scott and Scott's wife and daughter, they all could not have treated me and my wife any better. Doc was my good buddy at that last show. And also his wife, Wendy. It was like a family affair. And Shannon and Nick Simmons and Sophie, I was just hanging with all of them. It was very emotional.
It was a great, I was at the December 1st show. So, and we didn't have a ticket. I had to buy mine, but I did eventually get one. I bought it off Kiss Online. They were selling it. So I'm glad you got one. Nobody handed me mine.
Well, you know, I couldn't miss that. Yeah. And it was my wife. And I was right in the middle of promoting my new song and everything. And I wouldn't have gone probably, but my wife called Doc and she said, can we go? And he goes, yeah. And I go, well, fuck, man. There's no way I'm missing that.
Did you know John 5 was going to be there too? Or was that just a happy coincidence?
Well, I knew from John 5's Instagram website he'd probably be there, but I didn't think he'd miss it either, but no, I did not. And I bumped into him at the end of the,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I want to be respectful of your time, Sebastian. It was a real pleasure to speak with you. And it's always a honor to talk with somebody great like yourself. So thank you so much for the insightful interview. I appreciate it tremendously.
Thank you for enjoying and getting the word out on the record and being part of Team Baz in 2024. Thank you. Welcome to the team.
Hopefully I see you walking down in the village sometime soon.
Well, maybe the Las Vegas village.
Maybe. Next time I'm down there, all right?
Right on, man.
Thank you, buddy. Have a good day.
Right on. Thank you.